we'll try to keep entertaining you all the time, here and now. And as I said before...
I'm Jesse DeGroote, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXE. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXE 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
Wave Farms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous support of Tim of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi, everyone. It's Lily, the youth peer leader for Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 15th. Local early morning temperatures range from 47 degrees in Tannersville to 53 in Steventown. Regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. Air quality is going to be good today, which starts out cloudy and cool, and we hit 60 degrees at 3 p.m. The day comes to an end with sunny skies. Those clear skies let the temperature dip to about 40 degrees overnight. Elevated areas are looking at another freeze warning. Tomorrow will be chilly, windy, and sunny with a high of 57 at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures dip to 37 degrees. Then Friday will be a little windy with a high of 59. Saturday, calm winds and a high of 62. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:22 a.m., high tide at 11:01 a.m., low tide again at 5:31 p.m., then high tide once again at 11:22 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 64 degrees and the tide strength is average. Sunset today will be at 6:02 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be average at 530 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S3 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 108. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Thank you. Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. The Supreme Court is taking up a major Republican-led challenge to the Voting Rights Act, the centerpiece legislation of the civil rights movement that could gut a key provision of the law that prohibits racial discrimination in redistricting. That for the Associated Press. They report today the justices are hearing arguments for the second time in a case over Louisiana's congressional map, which has two majority black districts. A ruling for the state could open the door for legislatures to redraw congressional maps across the South, potentially boosting GOP electoral prospects by eliminating majority black and Latino seats that tend to favor Democrats. And with the new school year underway, educators are warning about the pervasive issue of vaping in schools. A new report from the Truth Initiative finds teachers are raising alarm about the popularity of e-cigarettes and other new tobacco products with students in high school and increasingly now middle school.
Data from 2021 shows nearly 24% of North Carolina high school students had used a vape product within the last 30 days. Jennifer Crestlake with the Truth Initiative is the lead researcher for the report and says educators have many concerns about vaping.
They report that vaping is disruptive to the learning environment, and educators expressed that they cannot address this problem alone. They need the support of communities by working to get these products off the shelves and away from school campuses.
Crestlake says the long-term health impacts of vaping are still unknown. Young North Carolinians looking for help quitting can text VAPE-FREE-NC to 88079. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Meantime, Minnesota's green jobs sector is roaring just as the weight of federal changes sinks in.
Clean Energy Economy Minnesota's new report says 2024 was another banner year with nearly 64,000 people working in renewable energy fields. However, the numbers don't factor in more recent moves by the Trump administration and congressional Republicans to unravel federal incentives. Seems Kathy Leibowitz says given the major policy shift, they can't guarantee some jobs will stick around, although it doesn't mean the wheels are falling off either.
We are not predicting that record-breaking growth in the following year, but we're also not predicting significant reversals.
Leibowitz says Minnesota still has a mandate of 100% clean electricity by 2040, which should keep this workforce busy compared to some other states where project activity might see a steeper decline. I'm Mike Moen.
And hundreds of thousands of protesters across California expected to take part in the No Kings rallies in at least 258 local communities this Saturday. Hunter Dunn is the national press coordinator for 5051, one of the multiple grassroots groups organizing the rallies.
We're not going to back down in the face of chaos, corruption, and cruelty. We're going to stand up. We're going to make our movement bigger, and we're going to hold politicians to account for capitulating to the billionaires funding Trump's straight-up fascist agenda.
More than 2,400 events are planned nationwide to push back against an array of Trump administration policies. This is Public News Service.
Elected officials, labor unions, and grassroots groups recently gathered in San Luis Obispo to show their support for offshore wind energy, even though the Trump administration has moved to reevaluate offshore wind leases and has pulled hundreds of millions in federal funding.
California voters approved a climate bond that will upgrade port infrastructure in Morro Bay and Humboldt to be ready to accept energy from offshore wind turbines in the future. Mark Simonin with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 639 says floating offshore wind carries a lot of economic potential.
There will be operation and maintenance. There will be small manufacturing, warehousing. There's going to be multiple jobs through multiple sectors. So it will be a real positive impact for the working class folks.
But the Trump administration has focused its efforts on boosting the oil and gas industry and has reversed many Biden-era renewable energy programs. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And the west side of Indianapolis could soon see a new community of tiny homes built for people who are experiencing homelessness.
Lyndhurst Baptist Church and the nonprofit Sanctuary Indy are partnering to create the project on church property, offering housing and wraparound services. Pastor Ben Wakefield says the goal is to help vulnerable Hoosiers find stability and safety.
For several years, we purchased this property a while back with the idea, not knowing how, that somehow it was going to serve that community. And so we've been waiting for the right partnership, the right time, and we believe it's now.
The project has drawn both support and criticism. Some neighbors worry about safety and the impact on nearby child care programs. Others welcome the plan as a compassionate way to address homelessness in the area. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service. This story was produced with original reporting from Kat Sandoval for Wish TV.
And finally, the South Fork Coal Company can no longer haul coal through the Monongahela National Forest. The U.S. Forest Service terminated the company's permit after it filed for bankruptcy and failed to submit an operating plan.
A lawsuit from conservation groups attempting to stop the coal hauling is no longer needed after the agency's decision, explains Olivia Miller with the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy.
They had already stopped operations earlier this year, and now this is a major step forward for protecting endangered species and restoring one of the state's most beautiful watersheds.
A separate lawsuit against South Fork Coal over water quality violations and reclamation requirements remain paused. The Forest Service granted South Fork Coal a road use permit in 2021. Since then, the company has racked up more than 100 violations issued from the state's Department of Environmental Protections. Nadia Ramlagan for West Virginia News Service.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
First peach of summer, first day out of bed. Haven't had a swim yet. Peeling off the paint from the deck, the black dirt from the farm, the light from my computer, the dog in the yard. You're up recording JoJo's pickling something strange, talking in the kitchen, eating dinner late. You're picking your nose, it gets clogged at night, dusting it in the evening, packing it real tight. I'm sleeping my feelings, I'm eating my dreams, and wiping a tear that falls on me. I'm waking up early, trying to at least getting to 5 a.m. for a walk down the street. Haven't had a swim yet.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him. GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.